You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up after 7 on Reveal, if you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed to you. That's how it's supposed to work. But in New Orleans, the public defender's office has such a backlog that it's refusing some serious cases, which is jamming up the courts and leaving hundreds of people stuck in jail with no lawyer. That's on Reveal tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, in rural India, doctors are on the brink of a medical breakthrough. They're preparing to submit a male contraceptive for approval. The drug would be the first new male contraceptive in more than a century. The injection would make sperm infertile, and it can also be reversed.
The inventor said that the procedure would be particularly useful for people reluctant to use condoms. A Bloomberg report said it would also be low cost, making it especially helpful for poor populations and people in developing countries.
The report also says the drug market for female contraceptives worldwide is worth about $10 billion, and male birth control would have the potential to win as much as half of that market. But despite trials finding that it's safe and convenient to use, the new contraceptive still hasn't gotten much interest from drug companies that could sell it.
Julie Beck is a senior associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health and psychology. She's been writing about male and female birth control and joins us now. Julie, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Give us an overview of the contraceptive market landscape, if you will. What procedures, what drugs are available?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty much all for women. The only male contraceptive that exists right now, short of a vasectomy, is a condom. And then, obviously, there are a ton of options for female birth control. There is, you know, the pill, but that encompasses a really large diversity of just, like, you know, different kinds of hormones, mixed hormones, progestin only, etc., IUDs, implants, and, you know, then, of course, you get into kind of female condoms and things like that, which are not super popular here in the States, but still exist. And so the burden of birth control is pretty much always been mostly on women.
How would this particular birth control that is coming out in India, how would it work?
Yeah, I've been hearing about this, you know, vasal gel or Resug, as it's called in different places, for years now, and people have been really excited about it for years now, and it seems like it's finally, you know, maybe actually happening. And I guess I kind of think about it almost as like an IUD for men, not an exact analog, but, you know, something that, a procedure that's pretty minimally invasive. You get done once, it's reversible, and then you don't have to think about it, until you want it removed or you want it reversed. Although I'm not super clear on the side effects, I think that the IUD probably has more. But yeah, it's pretty minimal. I think they just inject a gel into the vas deferens, and then as the sperm swim through it, there's sort of a positive charge and a negative charge, and it neutralizes them, basically makes them ineffective. And you can get another injection to clear the gel out and, you know, get a woman pregnant just as you would before, and it seems to be completely reversible.
How effective is it? What do we know about its effect?
You know, I think it's pretty remarkably effective. I think it's pretty remarkably cheap, and, you know, pretty remarkably safe as well.
And a gynecology professor quoted in this article saying, look, Big Pharma is run by middle-aged white men, she said, who would never go for this, and there lies the rub. How does that come into play in how this contraceptive is being approached by Big Pharma?
Yeah, you know, I have so many thoughts about this. You know, I think that the attitude towards male birth control is really out of step with what men actually want. You know, there was a male birth control trial recently that was stopped because of side effects. And the side effects were not markedly different from what women experience on birth control that is approved by the FDA. And the interesting thing about this is that the study was stopped, but the men who were in the study and who were experiencing the side effects wanted to continue using it. So I think men want it. And maybe there is this attitude from the companies or from above or just from society at large that they would never tolerate it, that they wouldn't put up with the side effects, that they wouldn't put up with, you know, even the responsibility of just taking a pill every day or whatever. And I think a lot of men actually do want to have that choice.
How much would it cost for, say, a pharmaceutical company to make this available?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I can't think that it is, you know, much more than the female birth control. And I think it would probably, you know, get them a lot of money in the end because there is a demand for it.
So why is there the problem then of finding a distributor here? You know, where would the demand for male birth control come from if the people who seem to want it are asking for it, and it seems like you just need the middleman?
Yeah, I really think there is just this holdover attitude that this isn't something that men will tolerate. And I don't think that that's true, but I think there is this just sort of social sense that it's the women's responsibility. And, you know, when they were originally researching the pill, at the same time, the company that was doing that was researching a male form of birth control as well. And there were some side effects with that. And the original, you know, women's birth control pill side effects were horrible. But they kind of abandoned the male one, saying that they believed that women would tolerate the side effects better than men because, you know, men wanted a better quality of life. And the problem is, you know, they're kind of right, because the women put up with these side effects, and they put up with all manner of things because it's on their bodies. You know, the responsibility falls on their bodies ultimately, in a way that it doesn't for men.
We're talking right now with Julie Beck. She's a senior associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health and psychology. We're talking about a new male contraceptive breakthrough that has been discovered in rural India, and it is preparing to submit a male contraceptive for approval. Julie, let's look at the world view here. How might this benefit people in other parts of the world, particularly in developing nations?
Yeah, I mean, I think the price point is a really big selling point. If it's cheap and it's easy, that makes it much more accessible to people who might not be able to afford other kinds of birth control. The fact that it's kind of a one and done procedure also makes it much more accessible. You don't have to keep buying the same prescription every month if you don't have insurance. It can be very helpful as well for, you know, there are people who, you know, men say they don't want to wear a condom, or women who are worried about getting their partner to wear a condom, and that's not necessary with this procedure. So that kind of removes that from the equation as well.
Is there any way that the World Health Organization could champion this, could actually bring it to market?
You know, I don't really know to what degree they're involved in bringing things to market. I think they're probably not. You know, I think they could certainly, you know, have advisories for this, help people become more informed about it. I think ultimately it's probably the pharmaceutical companies who are going to have to bring it to market.
The burden for birth control has largely fallen on women, and you've talked about that. What impact could male birth control have on relationships?
I mean, I think it certainly would provide a lot more options for couples, you know, and a lot of the times, you know, women put up with a lot of side effects to be on birth control and to take control of their reproductive health. And sometimes, you know, the options that we have available are not really compatible. You know, some people find that they struggle with depression or mood swings when they're on the pill to the degree that they really can't use it. Some people have complications with IUDs to the point where they really can't use it. And anything that gives couples more options is really going to sort of relieve that burden.
We're talking right now with Julie Beck. She's a senior associate editor at The Atlantic, covering health. We're looking at male contraceptives as researchers in India prepare to launch the first new form of male birth control in more than a century.
And we want to know what you think about birth control for men. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Would you like to see more men take charge of contraception? What do you think the pluses or minuses of birth control for men could be? Are you a man who would consider using a contraceptive like this one? Why or why not? Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing the conversation with Julie Beck, Senior Associate Editor at The Atlantic, covering health. And we're talking about a new medical advancement on the horizon. It's an injectable male contraceptive.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page, should drug companies consider selling male birth control? Why or why not? Do you see a double standard when it comes to who takes responsibility for contraception? Tell us if you would consider using male birth control or asking your partner to. And if you want to share your personal experience, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our phones now with Regina in Denmark, Wisconsin. Hi, Regina.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I want to express how excited I am for the possibility of this from the aspect of a mother of a teenage son. As he's getting ready to become sexually active, you know, one of the things I think about is if his partner were to become pregnant, he has an obligation, a financial obligation, for the entire life of that child. So I think by giving him the ability to take some control over the situation as well is very positive.
Julie, how could male birth control be revolutionary?
Yeah, you know, I think that there are just so many fewer options for men. I mean, it's really two ends of the spectrum and nothing in between right now. You can use a condom or you can get a vasectomy, and maybe it would be nice to have something in the middle of those two extremes, as there is for women.
Well, Regina, thank you so much for your call. And you can weigh in on this discussion, 800-642-1234. Julie, you've written that birth control for women has been revolutionary. How has it affected women's options for family planning and professional and educational goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think the family planning, you know, revolution is kind of self-explanatory there. But, you know, so many of the advances that women have made over the past decades are directly attributable to the availability of birth control. You know, the availability of birth control is directly responsible for the declining teen birth rate in the United States, which has actually been going down for decades now. You know, I think Planned Parenthood had a study that said like 30% of the increase of women in skilled careers could be directly attributed to birth control. And I think, you know, that's why women are willing to put up with so many side effects. You know, people sort of characterize male birth control as inconvenient or they wouldn't want to take it. And, you know, women are more likely to tolerate it, and they are, because having it is just directly responsible for so many opportunities that they have.
Let's take another call now. Momo in Wisconsin. Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I agree with what the last caller was saying, you know, sort of leveling the playing field, as they said, you know, bridging that gap. But I understand that, you know, some people don't want to use a condom or whatever, but you're sort of, I guess it's a way for men to take responsibility for it, you know. Instead of just using a condom, they can know for sure, because, you know, maybe it's not 100%, but it's, you know, condoms break, stuff happens.
Julie?
Hi. So unfortunately, I think due to a glitch perhaps on our end or yours, I'm not able to hear the callers. So could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, basically he said, you know what, this is a way for men to take responsibility, and that condoms break, things happen.
Yeah, you know, things do happen, and, you know, obviously condoms are not the, like, number one recommended birth control. You know, IUDs and implants and LARCs, long-acting reversible contraception, is the sort of gold standard of birth control now. And, you know, what the new procedure that's coming out of India is kind of a long-acting reversible contraception for men. And I think it would be great, you know, if men had the option, if they wanted to take control of their, you know, reproductive health in the same way that women do, it would be amazing to have that.
And really quickly here, let's go to Robert in Appleton. Hi, Robert. Oh, are you there? I hear your radio on.
Hey, oh, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I completely agree with the whole male contraception thing. My biggest fear would be guys not wearing condoms, passing on STDs from partner to partner, and I could just see it becoming a whole mess.
Julie?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think we're talking mostly here about birth control, the birth part, right? You know, I think it's still important to use condoms with new partners. It's still important to get tested for STDs. And I think this is more sort of a long-term option for people in committed relationships. And, you know, even if you are using some method of birth control, of course, you know, when you're with someone new, you should use a condom, so...
And Julie, as we begin to wrap up here, what do you think has to happen next in order for male birth control to become widely accessible?
You know, I really think it has to be a culture change, because I feel like the technology is here and the demand seems to be here. And it's kind of baffling to me that it's still characterized as inconvenient. I mean, this is, you know, a one-time procedure that you can easily be reversed. And so I think when people say that it's inconvenient, what they're really saying is it's inconvenient for men, which, yes, doing something is more inconvenient than doing nothing. But that procedure is much, much more convenient than a woman taking a pill every day, you know, maybe even more convenient than an IUD, depending on how the side effects work out for people. And so I think there has to be a sort of culture change from the top.
Thanks so much for joining us. Julie Beck is a senior associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health and psychology. She joined us to talk about male contraception as researchers in India prepare to launch the first new male contraceptive.